trust everyone had a good evening today. I know I did. I got to go home and grab me a little nap and got up and got to thinking about the message the Lord's laid on my heart again tonight. He's good to us, ain't he? I'm kind of like the preacher said today. This morning in the prayer room, I ought to be in hell somewhere. My back broke. I don't deserve anything he's done for me, but he's done it all for me. He's been good to us. Take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. I want to read one verse. Share with you what the lays Lord on my heart from this one verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Lord, I come to you tonight a needful creature, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just ask you to take your word, Lord, and you magnify it, you use it. Lord, you touch the heart and the lives here that need touched and helped, Lord, that you just take and do whatever you see fit with it, Heavenly Father. God, I just ask you just get me out of the way tonight, Lord, and fill me of you. Lord, just to be a blessing to these your people, Heavenly Father. God, I ask you to save that one nearest hell tonight, Heavenly Father. God, you're soon to come, and there's an eternity to be spent somewhere, Lord. And God, I just pray, Heavenly Father, you save that one before it's too late. Lord, you've been good to this old boy, and I thank you and I praise you. Touch hearts and homes. Thank you for the place I can call my church home, Heavenly Father. Thank you for these people, Lord, to come out on this wet and cold night, Lord, to maybe get a word from heaven and some help for their lives, Lord. Use us, Heavenly Father. I love you, and I praise you, and I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. By way of introduction, I'd like to say that we all are seen in different positions of responsibility, or we're all seen different positions of life. I work in law enforcement, and you all know that. And y'all see me as a position of a law enforcement person. And you come to me and you ask me questions that, you know, have to do with law enforcement or legal stuff and stuff like that. But that's because that's the position you see me in. I see Brother Ken in the position as a pastor of this church. I see other people here that I know what they do for a living is those positions they hold in their jobs. But the question I'd like to put before you tonight is, how are you seeing your Christian position in life? How does a man out here in the world see you as a Christian? Paul said in verse number 1 of chapter number 4, it says, "Let a man so account of us." And that word account means to consider us or to see us. When the world sees us, do they consider us a Christian? When the world sees us, do they see someone who's different, someone who's not like the world, someone who's apart from the world? Is that what they see? Is that what they see in us? And I know this chapter goes on to talk about judgment and other things, but this verse of Scripture has just stood out to me here for about the past several months now. And the Lord's laid this message on my heart, and I just wanted to share it with you as to how Paul saw himself. Because Paul's describing himself here. He said, "Let a man so account of us." He's speaking of the born again, the blood-washed band, the children of God. He's not talking about the lay person out here. He's not talking about the lost person out here. He's talking about those of us that have been born again by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those that are saved and on our way to heaven. That's who Paul is talking to. So he's saying, "Let a man so account of us or consider us or see us." And he named several different things in here. And I got to reading the way of what he was saying and doing word studies on the words. And the Lord just blessed my... Y'all might not get nothing out of this tonight. Boy, it's blessed my heart. I'm telling you, I've had a good time these past few months. This one verse of Scripture, I've stuck on this thing like a white on rice. And I'm telling you, it's good. It's good if you'll just get into it and read it and study it out. First of all, I'd like to say, our responsibility as a Christian, or not our responsibility, but our position as a Christian is an honorable position. There's no need for us to walk around with our chin on the ground, looking down, thinking we're second-class citizens, that we have no rights, that we don't have anything to look forward to, that we're considered to be something lower than dirt. Because I tell you what, right now, Paul tells me and shows me that it's an honorable position. He says right there, he says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards. Stewards. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have ever studied out what a steward is, but a steward was a servant. Didn't have nothing when he came into the work of the master. But he was a servant that was put in charge of or oversaw or had the care of the master's goods. Now, where are you going, preacher? What did you bring to the table when you realized that you were lost and undone and outside the will of God, lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you knelt down and cried out for mercy? What did you bring with you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All you had was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's all you had. That's it. And yet the Master has honored us to be overseers and caretakers of the things He's bestowed upon us. Boy, ain't that wonderful? Ain't that a good thing to know that He cares and loves us that much that we came to Him with absolutely nothing and He's given us everything He has? I have everything my Lord and Savior has. I have a home in heaven. I have all the riches of heaven. I have eternal life. I have all that waiting for me because when I came, I brought nothing and He gave me everything. Man, what a trade. What a trade we got when we came. What an honor. What an honor it is to have a copy of that blessed book sitting in your lap. What an honor it is to be able to read it and get stuff out of it for your lives. What an honor it is to be able to walk through the doors of a church like this where the Holy Spirit is. What an honor He's bestowed upon us. Oh, it's an honor. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you this to get you all puffed up because that's not where it's supposed to be. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But we've been honored so highly. We're highly favored. We're thought more than anything else I can think of by our Lord and Savior and thrice holy God. We are honored to be where we are right now. Or we should be. If your heart's right, you are. But it's an honored position. I mean, because daddies, He's honored you with a family. He's honored you with children. He's honored you with a responsibility to be a man of God, to be the pastor of your home, to be the bishop and spiritual leader of your household. That's an honor. Because what did you bring? Remember? Nothing. But yet He's bestowed all this on you and on you and I. He's given us all these things. Not only His family, but they also oversaw and took care of His fields. What are we doing about that? If a steward didn't take good care of the master's field, he wouldn't steward very long. If a master didn't see an increase of what he put forth, what he would spend on to have put out there and brought up, whether it be wheat, barley, whatever it was, whether it was cattle or camels or whatever it was, whatever that steward had oversight and control over, if he didn't make an increase, he wouldn't steward long. So what are we doing with this honor that God has given us? It's an honorable position to be a child of the King. It's an honorable position to be a Christian today. So, you know, that's point number one. Point number two, it's a heavenly position. It's a heavenly position. Because it says in the Scripture, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now that word mysteries means hidden truths. So in other words, we're supposed to be overseers and caretakers of the hidden truths of that blessed book. It's heavenly things because daddies, like I said before, you're the spiritual leaders of your home. You need to be getting your family into the house of God where those children can hear about God and can get saved before they fall off and go to hell. Just that plain, that simple. I was thinking this morning as I was sitting there and the little ones come up to do their giving. And I was thinking, my, what a responsibility. All those little children, if they couldn't walk up here, they're being carried by their parents. And I was thinking, how heavy a responsibility that is. But how heavenly a position we hold. Because them little ones are going to do what they see you and I do. They're just little mockingbirds. That's all they are. There's little copycats, little monkeys. They're going to mimic and do what you do. Well, you say, preacher, how does mimicking them do any good? It gets them going in the right direction. Because they'll grow out of the mimicking stage and they'll grow into the being there having a yearning stage. And that yearning stage will turn into a desire to know. And a desire to know will turn into a point to where they realize that they're lost and undone and come under Holy Ghost conviction. And then they get wonderfully, marvelously, and gloriously saved by the love of God. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. It's heavenly. It's a heavenly position. You say, well, preacher, I ain't sitting in heaven a whole lot lately. Well, I'm sorry. If you're anywhere where the Spirit of God moves, you've sat in heavenly places. I mean, we can't have a running, shouting, swinging off a chandelier, doing backflips in the aisle, running pews kind of meeting every Sunday. But I'm telling you what, he was here this morning. He was here and he was touching hearts and he was helping hearts and he was helping lives. So we got to sit in heavenly places this morning. I don't care what you say. And if you can't see it as that, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here to hoop and holler, am I okay, preacher? If you're here to hoop and holler and carry on and do stuff like that, maybe you're in the wrong place. I come to see what God's got for our lives, for my life, for your life. That's one of the biggest reasons I come to church right there. I want to see what God's going to do. It just fascinates. I come through this church doors excited. I want to see what's going to happen. Because I know if I'm come with the right heart and the right spirit, and I'm prayed up and get to sit here with my eyes open and my ears attentive, I'll get to hear something. It may just be one word, one phrase that's going to set on my heart. And I've got to set in heavenly places. So we do hold a heavenly position here. We do. That's how we should be seen, is holding a heavenly position, an honored position and a heavenly position. But now, my third and final point, and I won't stay no longer here than I have to, but this point right here, it just nailed it down for me. It just, as some people say, it's where the rubber meets the road. It's a humbling position. It's a humbling position. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers. Now that word ministers, in the Greek it's hupretes. It means under rower in a ship. That's exactly what it means. Now here's Paul telling us, let a man so account of us, or let a man so see us or consider us as nothing more than a third-level galley slave. That's how humble we're to be in the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We say, preacher, what's an under-rower? I'm glad you asked. Paul traveled the seas in all his missionary journeys. He traveled the seas. He did a lot of traveling. He got to see these great big boats. They were called triremes. These boats had three levels of oars or three levels of rowers that have up to 180 to 220 oars in the water at one time. Now, these boats were massive. They were huge for that day and time. The top level rowers got to sit up and could see what was going on the upper level of the ship. They had the longest oars, so they sit up on top. They could say they had a good view. They could see things that was going on. The second level rowers were down into the galley of the ship. Or not the deep galley, but down where goods were stored and people stayed in their staterooms or whatever it was. And there was some hustle and bustle going on that level. And they had a smaller window that they could look out of, and their oar stuck out a little hole. But that third level galley slave was in the deepest, darkest part of the ship. No sun got down there. The only thing he could see was usually the back of the one that was sitting in front of him. The only view he had to the outside was the small hole that the oar stuck out of. At nighttime, he didn't see nothing. In the daytime, he'd see a little bit of the water every now and then. If the ship pitched, he'd see a little bit of the horizon. But it was brief. He never got to see anything for a long time outside. But this man was not really considered a servant. He was a slave. He was a third-level galley slave on a boat of the master's. You say, "Preacher, that don't sound real good." I ain't saying it's an easy life, but you know, he was a third-level guy. And that's what Paul said we ought to look at ourselves like. And I got to thinking, Lord, how could being a third-level galley slave show me anything about being a Christian? How could that help me? And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, well, number one, you got to be bought by the master. To become a slave on the master's boat, you got to be bought by the master. Which means at some point in time, you had to be put on an auction block. See, because what would happen back in those days when the auction time would come in town, the auctioneers would bring slaves back, bring slaves from one master, and they'd put them up on the auction block, and they would auction them off to these other masters. So this one master would buy the slave from another master. If you're out there tonight and you're lost and undone, your master is the world. Your master is the devil. And there's another master out there that paid a high price for you that wants to buy you back from that master. He wants to purchase you from that master that now owns you. But now if you're out there today and you're born again child of God, I hope this helps your heart. But you see, when these slaves would get up there and they'd stand, the auctioneer would say, well, this man, he's from this tribe, and he's done, he's this old, and not. And he gave you just a brief definition of who he was, and what he'd done, where he'd lived, where he was brought up. Just give you enough to give the people there that were bidding on him enough to maybe want to buy him. Did you ever stop and think that the one that bought and paid for us knew all about us? Knew everything we was going to do, how we were going to be, what we were going to be, who we were going to be, how we were going to be, what we were going to do, when we were going to do it, where we were going to do it. Every inch, every iota of our lives, he already knew about. And in spite of that, he paid for us anyway. In spite of that, he went and died on an old rugged cross so that you and I could have a hope and a promise this world knows nothing about. Boy, it humbles me to think that the thrice holy God of heaven would leave everything there is, come down here and give it all up so I could have it. Just to give it to me. Just to say, here you go. It's yours. You can have it. That's how simple salvation is. All you got to do is ask for it. But that just thrills my heart, the fact that He would do that for me. Knowing in spite of who and what I am, how depraved and wretched and vile I am, He bought me anyway. Now, had a lot of those slaves been given their full details of their lives and carrying on, I'm sure that a lot of them probably wouldn't have got bought and they just went back to their old master. Boy, I'm glad He loves me more than that. I'm glad He thinks of me more than that. I'm just very glad He thought enough of me to do what He did for me, that I'm telling you what, that just helps me to know, and it humbles me to know that the God of heaven sent the very best He had so I can have the very best He has. Boy, I'm telling you, He's good to us this morning. See, first of all, you had to get bought by the Master. Yeah. Then, after you get bought by the Master, you get put on board with the Master. Because you're a third-level galley slave, you're going to row this boat. Okay, so you're going to be on board with the Master. So just like the disciples over there when Christ said, let us go to the other side, and they get in the ship, and Christ goes to sleep behind her part, and the storm comes up. Well, they forgot they were on board with the Master. And I'm sure in the deepest, darkest part of that boat, when they're down there pulling on those oars, and when they're rowing and just pulling and then following the beat of that drum, and the slave driver going up and down the ramp and keeping order and making everybody sure everybody's doing everything just right, I'm sure they thought, what have I got myself into? Where in the world am I? What's going to sound familiar? Whenever we're in our deepest, darkest valley, whenever we're going through anything we can't understand, whenever it comes up and it looks like there's no way out, looks like we're sitting in the deepest, darkest hole we've ever been in, can't get over the mountain, can't get across the river, can't get through the valley, we don't know what's going to happen next. Boy, thanks be unto God, it's like the preacher said, there's one to get in trouble with you. We have one that's made us a promise. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us always, even to the end of the world. Boy, I'm so very thankful I have that. I'm on board with the Master. You see those slaves where they were sitting there and rowing? They're chained to that boat. They were secure. They wasn't nothing going to happen to them if the Master didn't allow. See, and the hull of my ship, it may be battered. The hull of yours, it may be battered. The sails may be torn, but I'm telling you what, it's not going to sink. Because this morning, I am under the captain of the ship, and he's going to take this thing home. And we're going to get to be with him one great and glorious day, because I am on board with the Master. And I'm thankful for that. That helps me this morning to know that. I don't know what's going to happen when I walk out of these doors tonight. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow at work. I don't know what's going to happen next week. But I do know the one that's going to be with me. And I can look back behind me and say, He brought me from there to here. And He's going to get me from here to there. And no matter what happens between here and there, He's going to be right there with me anyway. Because I'm on board with the Master. Boy, if that don't help you, your wood's wet. I'm telling you this morning, if you're on board with the Master, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. I'm not saying you're not going to worry. No, don't get me wrong, because I worry. Everybody worries. That's just how we're geared. That's how we're built. But the psalmist said that He remembereth our frame and we are but dust. So He knows who we are. He knows exactly who we are and what we are and how we are. But boy, I can't help but I just keep going back to it in spite of that. In spite of that, He loves us anyway. Well, not only was I bought by the Master, not only am I on board with the Master, but lastly, I'm bound with the Master. I'm bound with the Master. Like I said before, you know, those slaves, they were chained to the boat. I don't know where my life's going. I don't know where your life's going. I don't know what's in store for me down the road. But I do know this, and I'm learning, not that I've got it down to a science or anything, but as hard as I can, I'm going to try to do what He wants me to do. Because I'm bound with Him. Like I said before, these slaves, they were chained to the boat. They only had one job, pull that oar. They couldn't see where the boat was going. They had no idea. They didn't know what the weather was like outside the ship. They didn't know if it was cloudy or stormy. I'm sure they could tell if the boat was pitching because the waves were high because the boat was pitching. But they had no idea what was going on outside the walls of that boat. All they had to do was pull those oars. That's all they had to do. Christ will never ask more of us than we can do. He will never ask of us to be more than we are. And He will never expect out of us any more than we can do. People say, well, I've disappointed God. No, you haven't. You've never disappointed God. You've never surprised God. You've never disappointed God. Because like this morning, the preacher said that He knows everything before it happens. He knows it all. He is just all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, and He knows exactly who and what we are. That ought to humble us this morning, this evening. It ought to make us realize just how, in this grand scheme of things, really how much of nothing we are. Because the people that paid fares to ride on them boats, the people that had paid money to get from one port to another port, they could have given two dead rips about them people in that belly of that boat pulling it. Could have cared less. And if that's what you're looking for in your Christian life, you're looking for the wrong thing. Just keep pulling the oars. Just keep rowing the boat. Just keep doing what God have you to do. It don't matter if you think it's important or not. That's not important. Paul said, let a man so consider us. Or let a man so see us. So if you think that this is going to be some big uplifting personal building, I'm going to stand out amongst everybody thing, you're in it for the wrong thing. Because Paul was probably, next to Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher, the greatest missionary, the greatest apostle, the greatest pastor that ever put on a pair of sandals. I mean, Paul was next to Jesus Christ, he was probably the most influential and the greatest man that ever walked. But yet he said, I'm nothing more than a third-level galley slave. See, that's the position we need to see ourselves in. Not saying that we're second-class citizens, like I've already explained. Not saying that we're something lower than anybody else, because we're not. We shouldn't think of ourselves more than anybody else. We should never think that we're a limb or two higher than anybody else. See, my mama always taught me when I was going to school, she said, son, don't ever let nobody belittle you. She said, because let me tell you something, and you always hear me and you hear me well. She said, you ain't no better than nobody else out there. She said, you're not no better than the person that ain't got as much as you do, or the person that's got more. And she said, you're no better than anybody else. She said, but there ain't nobody else out there no better than you either. See, that's the only reason we think people are better than we are, because that's what we do. We think they're better than we are. See, we need to realize that we just need to go through this thing as a humble servant, being in charge and having care over the hidden truths of God. Boy, just do that. Just live like that. Just be that kind of Christian. Boy, watch things start to turn around. Thank you, Pastor. That's all I got.